of the Yom Kippur, carry on. Chofetz Chaim, Refuah Shleima of Yosef Dov ben Chayla. So Yanka has been speaking about shidduch situations recently, and concludes the sefer by talking about when it comes to financial commitments. So talk about the nadan and support which the father-in-law gives the young couple to the son-in-law. We're talking about where the shidduch is being considered but hasn't yet been concluded. So what happens if you know that the prospective father-in-law, there is no way he can provide what he's saying? How would you know this? Because you've actually heard him say it. Or secondly, you know that his financial situation unfortunately is so bad he really can't afford it. Are you allowed to say anything to the chosan? Yes, you are. You're allowed to tell him if the conditions for speaking negatively to Ellis have been fulfilled. Just remind ourselves the seven rules of to Ellis. Number one, one has to be absolutely certain information is accurate. Number two, one must think the matter through and be sure that a wrong has actually been committed. Number three, one must approach the wrongdoer and attempt to persuade him to rectify his behavior. Number four, one is not permitted to exaggerate. Number five, one's intention must be solely to help the person who is being victimized. Number six, if you can get the same result without having to speak Lashon Hara, you should go for that option. And seven, one is not allowed to convey the information that results in the subject suffering a greater loss than the halacha allows. So you're allowed to tell the chosan if his father-in-law cannot afford to pay it. However, there's a rider coming up later. If a person knows a person's middle class, so he doesn't expect him to be able to pay, that's not a reason, because middle class people, says here, often strain themselves to provide what they can for the children, so that's not a reason, because the middle class is saying, no, there's no way you can do it. But before all this, one has to be sure that the prospective son-in-law has been straightforward with the prospective father-in-law. If he has not been straightforward and honest completely, then you do not have to tell the son-in-law that his father-in-law is treating him the same way. So if the son-in-law is not behaving as he should, prospective son-in-law, then you don't have to tell the father-in-law. So again, all this applies before the couple become engaged. Before the couple is engaged. Once they are engaged, it's much more restrictive. And you can only tell the chosan, this father-in-law deceiving him, after making sure you fulfilled all the conditions of Se'elah. And the Chofetz Chaim ends off, the end of the sefer, by saying, the general rule is, translation, a person must carefully ponder all his ways, especially the way in which he speaks. He should not meddle in matters between a man and his fellow unless he is certain that his facts are accurate and that his intention is constructive. With such care and forethought, Hashem will assist him that he should not be caught in the snare of the Yetzer Hara. May the Rock of Israel rescue us from mistakes and show us wonders from his terror. Blessed is Hashem forever. Amen v'amen.
Amen.
That's it from me.
Thank you.
January, provided to Rebbe. How long was Golas Mitzrayim? This is the response of our family Grossmaster, Kutsu from Samuel of Yerushalayim, Karyoa, and from Grossmaster, Tipia. Kastner was on Tuesday. He wrote Saint Shimon advised the Lord of the Shimon to the Shiron, and also his father, the Shiron, after 11, Bamba Kamok, Shiach Sura Botzen, and Heron, Shalom. After Kamok,
got it?
All good.
Good morning. Today, Be'ez Hashem Yisburach, we'll be talking about the length of Golas Mitzrayim. And the length of Golas Mitzrayim, as is known, contains within itself a three-way stira. The first source we have is in Bereishis, when the Rebbeinu Shleilam, in the Brizvan HaMesurim, tells Avraham Avinu about the decree of the Golas, and he says, how long? 400 years. Next week's parsha. The pusuk says, "Klal Yisrael left Mitzrayim." And how long were they there? Imoshav ben Yisrael sheyoshev b'Mitzrayim shloish mshunu v'arba mayeshunu. So we go from 400 to 430. So the first problem, first two steers. Comes Rashi brings, and the Makar is the Braisa inside the Olam and says, well, there's a problem. You cannot even say that we're Mitzrayim for 400 years. Shaharai. Kohos came to Mitzrayim together with Yaakov. And if you add all his years, and all the years of Amram Benoy, and the 80 years of Moshe, they don't come to 400. And this would assume that everyone had their child the last year of their death, which is not the stubborn. And Rashi says, Haba Mishnah's Kohos overlap, and so does the years of Amram overlap with Moshe. So what do we do? And therefore, we have to find a way to miyash all three together. 400, 430, and the actual facts on the ground of how long the lives of the generations in Mitzrayim, which are no more than Kohos, Amram and Moshe, should all fit together. So in the first instance, the very classical teretz, which is very known, is that it all fits together in the following way. 400 years starts from the birth of Yitzchak. Being that Yitzchak was 60 when Yaakov was born, and we know for a fact that it says in the Torah that when Yaakov came to Mitzrayim, he told Parah, I'm 130 years old. So that covers 190 years. So by the time Yaakov comes to Mitzrayim, 190 years passed from the birth of Yitzchak. That leaves 210 to get to 400. And 210 is the amount of years that Yidden actually were in Mitzrayim themselves. So this explains what 400 comes in. So again, 400 starts from Leidas Yitzchak. 190 years what living in Eretz Yisrael, 60 until the birth of Yaakov, 130 till Yaakov came to Mitzrayim, and another 210 in Mitzrayim themselves. Now, Oibazoi, what's 430? 30 is the Briz Ben Amasarim. Avraham was 70 years old at the time, so when Hashem told him, Yudoyah Tanikah Ezerachu, 400 years from the birth of Yitzchak, but when the Torah says how long they were in Mitzrayim, they come back to the Brisbane of Asarim, and that's why it's 430. Stimmt, l'chayre, all goes well. Now, l'maise, there's two problems. One is that it says in the Pusik, Yimoshe b'nai Yisrael, Ashiyosh b'Mitzrayim, Shloshim b'shunav abamai shulu. Problem number one. Problem number two is, the Abishat Tosav l'mavini, they'll be tortured for 400 years, and that wasn't true. It's maximum 210 years, because that's the time they were Mitzrayim. So each of these points have to read some, which will explain. The first point, namely the question as to why it says 400 years, why it says 430 with Mitzrayim, says the Rambam in Geirus time, the Rambam in Geirus time on, no, the Abish is talking as a general point. I'll explain what he's trying to say by that. The MS, there's a certain clown in the Torah that we need to understand that shows up many times. It's called Mikru Mesiras, a parenthetical pasuk. I'll give you an example. It says in Pusik Azul, the Gabachilas Chometz, Kikol Oichal Chometz, whoever eats Chometz, V'nichas HaNefesh Yim Yisrael, you have Kuris Sechmon Elislan. Miyem Erishon Adiyam Hashmi. The Kuris is not from the first to the seventh day. So what does it mean? Again, kol echol chometz v'nichas v'nefeshahi miyom erishon ad yom hashvi. Clearly, this is not pshat in the pusik. So how are we supposed to read it like this? Ki kol echol chometz miyom erishon ad yom hashvi. Now there's a parenthesis in the middle. Ki kol echol chometz, what happens to him? V'nichas v'nefeshahi. And it's going back into the rest of the pusik and saying, when did I say to you that this applies to miyom erishon ad yom hashvi? So again, the pusik sometimes can contain, it starts and it finishes, and it adds a parenthesis, an explanation for one of the points. And in this case, in the case of chometz, the parenthesis is to say what happens if you eat chometz. But the reading the pasuk should have read, "Ki kol echol chometz miyem hashvi, meyirishin ad yom hashvi." Then, v'nichos erishin meYisrael. Another example. Eishet Potifar tells Potifar, "Bu alayhu evedu ivri ashevay saluni letachag bi." In English, you read the following: the slave. The Hebrew slave, which you brought me the tachak bi in order to chap me. That's not what he's saying. He's saying, Bula evidivri the tachak bi. Which evidivri? Which you brought, Ashevai Suri. So there's a parenthesis in the middle of the pasuk which comes to explain part of it, but really applies only to the previous part of the pasuk. So the Rambam is saying is, you're supposed to read the following. Yudaya tadek agai zachabeis leluhem. How long for? Abmashunu. It has a parenthesis, and a part of that time, but it does not apply to the point of the length of time. It's a parenthesis to what will occur during part of the Golos. So really should have read the following. And also, so again, according to this, as we see other places in the Torah, the pattern of the Torah is, sometimes you find the parenthesis within a pasuk, which applies to a portion of the pasuk, but not necessarily a qualifier for the whole pasuk in its entirety. And here we say that the pasuk is just saying, in addition to the fact that we've been for 400 years, there will be a portion of time b'avud v'mini oisam. I want to point something out, that even Chazal, I never said that the 210 years were all part of b'avud v'mini oisam. In fact, we know for certain that until such point as Levi was nifted, the last shevet, there was no avdus at all. And it's not clear to us how long was the actual shevet Mitzrayim. Some say 86 years. The Maram Panos says 31 years. That's the entire length of the Shibud of Mitzrayim, 31 years. To that I want to say, that it shows how impressive is the sustenance of Klal Yisrael and this Golos that we find ourselves now almost 2,000 years. If Golos Mitzrayim, the Shibud, the pressure that we knew by the Torah lasted for 31 years, and that turned around the whole nation from what they were to be Haluli of the Vazuri, Haluli of the Vazuri, to be no differentiation between them and the Mitzrayim, that can happen in 31 years, how much greater is the miracle of our survival? But nevertheless, the Ini Oysam has no shachet in the amount of time. That's the first part. Yes.
Even if you're saying that we can show that the Shibud wasn't 400 years, you've still got 400 years, we're in a land not ours.
Correct.
So how?
So now we're coming to that. So now we're saying, so this... What was?
100 comes to the third one, yeah.
The Ramah Upana has a cheshbon to it, and others have a cheshbon 86 years, but it's not mefurish anywhere in Chazal, nor in the Torah, the specific amount of time within the 210 years of the actual Shibud. We know that it was gradual, perach, stage by stage, some of it was self-inflicted. The Klaus Mugrebi used to say, Yidden in America go in the summer to the bungalow colonies. And sometimes they leave their beautiful homes in Brooklyn and they live in a small little bungalow. And he said, the American government would make a gzera that everybody has to leave their gorgeous homes and for 2 months go live in a bungalow where women are there a whole week alone and the men go into town. There'd be a gzera. They're fast. From a vatel down the raya, a gzera. But sometimes people do self-inflicted things and think that this is the best thing in the world. And Chazal said, the same as Mitzrayim as well. For a portion, we don't know how long it was, there was perach, which means they were incentivized financially to abandon their families and to work day and night and not to have a life and to be busy with their work. Sounds familiar. And only eventually this became something which he couldn't choose not to do. There's much more nuances about Yetzias Mitzrayim, which I don't want to go into. There's a Meshech Chochma, this week's parsha, proofs from the Yerushalmi and from the Medrash that not only Shevet Levi, but Reuven and Shimon also were not in the Shevet at all, which is why Shevet Yehuda was chosen for Malchus, because they were the oldest Shevet that actually suffered with. And he says even furthermore, again from the Yerushalmi, that even the Shimon became so corrupted that they had slaves among Klal Yisrael. Always happens, the couples, they were in charge, and they took a number of their brothers who were Meshevet and had them working for themselves. So the Shibud Mitzrayim, maybe for a different occasion, was far more nuanced, much more granular, and less sort of all-encompassing in the way we could imagine it. But regardless, we come back to the previous point. So we said one question was, why is the Avodim Vini Oysam? And now we explain this as a parenthesis that applies to a portion of the time. So we all know the Chazal tell us that when it came to translating the Torah in Greek for Ptolemy, the Chachomim realized that they can't keep it the way it is, and they added the words b'Mitzrayim v'shar arutzos, in Mitzrayim and other lands as well. In order to answer this question, and we find interestingly enough that this is like the way it appears both in the Latin translation, and if you open up any modern Bible, you'll find the same translation. The Shamroinim do the same, the Karum. The only version of the Torah, the only right version, is the Masoretic version where it says Taka Mitzrayim. What was the pshat for them? So, Pshat Yigun has an interesting parish. Pshat Yigun says that during this entire period, Eretz Canaan was nothing but part of the Egyptian Empire. So therefore, in the same way as someone who lives in Alaska doesn't say that he's living in the upper part of Canada or on the land formerly known part of Russia, it is under the control of the United States. So if he's living there, he feels like he says he lives in the United States. And the same as if you're living in Hawaii. The geographical location doesn't matter, so long as it's part of the same unified governmental land. Canaan was part of Mitzrayim. And therefore, it is right to say that they lived under the Egyptian Empire for this entire duration. And when did that finish? Only by Yetzias Mitzrayim. And he's marked by Richard that all this, they were effectively Mitzrayim. It was seen as one single entity and there was no shachas at all. Okay, this is Ein. And he has rise for this one mahalach. Another mahalach David Ezra has is that the Pusik is not saying they were for 430 years in Mitzrayim. They're saying they ended up in Mitzrayim. And we see such examples several times where Mikayt doesn't always mean where you ended up there. The Mushal. It says in Pusik in Shmuel, Vayim Mikayt Zarbuim Shunu Vayim Rav Shulem. The 40 years were not the years of Avshalom. Rather, from a different point, at the end of those 40 years, now Avshalom is here. And we find other examples in Yechezkel, other places, that the Mekaj doesn't necessarily mean from the point of departure we're talking now. There's an arbitrary point from where we count from there. At the end of the 430 years, they would end up being a Mitzrayim, but not that the entire duration was a Mitzrayim. So far, so good. But now we have a big problem. And this kasha is a little bit less well known, although the Teretz is spoken about. The kasha is this. In order to make all this work, there's one assumption that we said. Avraham Avinu Babrizben Avesorim was 70 years old. Why is this necessary? Because being Avraham was 100 years old when Yitzchak was born, and from there we count 400 years, and that stems very nicely, 190 in Eretz Canaan, 210 in Mitzrayim. So what's 430? We're coming backwards from there. So Avraham was 70 years old, B'shaz Brisbane episode. But that is a very big problem. Because the Torah says, Beferish. Parshas Lech Lechu, where Brisbane Abbasarim appears, starts with the words, Vayemeshem Le'avam Lech Lechu, go, Le'eretz Ashareku, and the Pusuk says, Avram ben Chumash Shivim v'Shivim Shunu b'Tasim v'Chulon. He was 75 years old. So if he was 75 years old, you're getting maximum to 425. So how do you end up at 430? And this kash is a very old kash. What do you say?
He was
7 years
old, but
Brisbane,
I'm sorry. What's it got to do with when you're out with
Choron? This is Parshas Lech Lechu, Pusuk Dalet. Brisbane appears in Parshas after the Mechemes Hamelochim, all the way further. In Perek Tezvav, Psikim Dalet, Gimel onwards. So chronologically speaking, the Parsha starts from being 75 years old. You would very much expect that this should be later on. I don't know at what point, but some point afterwards. At the very least, 75, but not earlier. Stimmt? Sa'adalim has the Kashan. Sa'adalim says, therefore, we have to say Agir Sechidish. Avram came to Tetzisro twice. Once when he was 70 years old, he left Choron, came to Tetzisro, came here, couldn't settle, didn't like Hebrew, went back to Choron, and decided to do it again, and finally stayed there. Achidash Utsum, which has no other sources in the Torah. If anything, many rabbis in the Torah tell me otherwise. The Ayin says, Lech lechum atzachu, to a secret place he'd never been to before. 5 years ago, he spent the summer there. It was pshat. Oh, but we have to make it work. Rashi brings his pshat. Rashi doesn't bring the difficulties in it, but he says there has to be two. And the emphasis is that furthermore, Rashi himself says right after the Brisbane Avasarim, says Rashi, Achad Rumaile, after which things? After Mechemes Hamelochem. And that was certainly when Avram settled and came to Eretz Yisrael with his nephew. So Rashi seems to say beferish that this had to happen afterwards. And Rabbi Yaakov Emden in his Agus inside the Olam, Rabbi Yaakov, always very sensitive to chronology, or he says, you can't have it always. If Rashi says that this happened at 70, when he was 70 years old, he cannot say that it happened when he was 75 years old. Rashi says himself, Minai, by the guy. The only kasha that Rabbi Yaakov is that this is Mefresh Tosfos. Tosfos has this kasha. And Tosfos writes in Bruchot Av Zayin that we have to say Agir Segeval Gechidish. Now be with me for a second, because it'll get a little bit complicated. Achad Rumayla Hashem Kost Avrum Bamach, then he says, I'm here to protect you. Don't be scared. And Avram says, what am I going to have for this? And he says, oh, you're going to have a lot of Ochanish Kankindi. Don't worry. Lo Yish Chuzeh, you're going to have a child. Go out, I'll show you all the stars, and you'll see. Now comes Shishi. Okay? Then it goes further. And you should know that I'm going to make a bond with you. And afterwards, you're going to have your children, they're going to go into slavery. So the Tosfos, I'm with him, the first part was indeed said after Mechemes Hamelochem when he was worried, and Hashem promised him protection. But the second part, where he says to him, take a gula mishaleshes, and he promises all that, happened 5 years early in the first visit. So Tosfos takes the same parasha, which seems to be read as one single unit, and cuts it and says, no. Part one happens in chronology, and the last part happens earlier. Agir Sechidish. So in the same parasha in the Torah, not only can refer to different parshias, but even the same parsha itself, you can actually divide the pesukim and say this is much earlier. Because of the chiddush, Tosfos has to prove it. And Tosfos brings two very nice ra'ayos to it. The first is like this: the Gemara says, "Miyoyim shabuya kodesh buchi es ha'olam lo'ay udam shakul udam udoyim." People, Hashem was called many names, Elokim and Boyer Olam, but Udoyim, Master, he never was called. Until Avram came. And Avram said, Vayoymer, he said, Hashem, but it's written in the words, Alav Dalad Yid, Bame Aida Ke Yashenu, how am I going to know that I'm going to Yashen this? Azay Shtaitin Pusik, this is what the Gemara says. Which Pusik is this? Perek Tezvav, Pusik, Ches. Bame Aida Ke Yashenu. And here's the problem. The word Alav Dalid, Hashem's name, appears in Pusik Beis. Vayem Avram Hashem Alav Daliyud Matitani. What will they give me? So why would the Pusik quote the Pusik three Pusikum later to be the first source of Avram Avinu calling Hashem the name that we know him, Alav Dalid Niyud, when it says three psukim earlier. Unless emistak in the Torah it says first, but in actuality the second part was said 5 years earlier. And the Gemara, having known that, quotes the time, the first time he said it, not the first time that it appears. And this kasha all the Rishonim ask. Something doesn't seem to be clear here. Hashem takes out and says, look at the stars. So clearly we're talking, it's already night. And then when it comes, when Hashem says he should take all the kavanos and put them on the floor, and then it says, Vahi Hashem Eshlova, the sun started going under. But you just saw all the stars. So Rashi brings from a medrash that actually the first portion he took him out of the atmosphere of Rome was sort of looking at the world from the outside. And therefore, stars appear in the night sky outside of our atmosphere all the time. So he saw the stars. But according to this, it's Kakasha. Because it's a two separate stories in five-year difference. The first parasha was said at night, which was really happened when Avraham was 75 years old. And the one which appears later in the Torah was said 5 years earlier, indeed in late afternoon hours. And at some point, the sun set. So these are the two very strong rays to Shita Satois was to say that indeed, There is a parsha of Brisbane of Asarim, even though it appears in the certain chronology, indeed has to be divided into two parts.
The start is not a steer.
What's that? The
start is not a steer.
Why?
Because you took him up and you saw the star.
As a shtat medish. But this is a pshat in the Pusik. Pusik says, Vayotzah Chitzu. He took him outside, leave your house, and look up. According to the Pusik pshat, it doesn't stim that he saw it during the day and or at night, and then it became again sunset. That's pshat. So the chayre of Yashik is in the kasha. Now we have one more thing to emphasize. Why is it that Yankov Emden says Rashi says to himself and is not aware of the fact that Tosfos seems to answer the question, the answer, maybe a bit of a doichak, but still very clearly. So it's a very nice pshat. It says in Pusik, Vashem pokad asuru kasha omar, Vayaz Hashem asuru kasha dibir. So Rashi is medaktik. What is omar? What is dibir? Rashi says, Amir is Vayemelekim el asuru ishtachum. What is the dibir? Now listen carefully. It says, Hoyu Dvar Hashem al Avruam bebris b'nei v'surim. And there it says, Hashem said you're going to have a child. This dibir Dvar Hashem al Avruam is the second portion, the part which according to Tosfos was said actually at the earlier stage. And the kasha therefore is, if Rashi held like Tosfos, why doesn't Rashi quote the earlier dibur? So clearly Rashi did not hold like Tosfos held. There was one long thing, the Brisbane of Asarim. It's not divided into two. And that's why Yaakov Emden didn't accept that Rashi can say this pshat. So now in Miyasha the Kasha, we say that the 30 years of start from 70. And why was it done so? Because Avraham Avinu was actually came twice to Eretz Yisrael. So I saw a different pshat. A very interesting pshat, which is a Gosa Chiddush, but I'll share it with you. This I saw in a koivet which was printed by the Preshbogi Yeshivim in Tovshin Yud Zayin, 1957. The Preshbogi Ruv, the Das Sofer, was still alive at the time. And whilst I don't know who wrote it, he writes that he spoke to Admar Shlita, to the Preshbogi Ruv, he's masking with the Pshat. I have a Shabakash on the Pshat, but nevertheless, I'll tell you what he says. He says the following. 430 years should be counted as lunar years, not solar years. The difference between 430 years and lunar years and solar years is 18 years, which means that in solar years, it's 412. So now we'll say the following. Be'etzem Avram was 88 years old when Bris Ben Avisarim happened. And that's fine, because he came to Israel when he was 75 years old, came to Eretz Canaan, and at some point afterwards, any point, it can be whenever we want, Hashem told him, your tools will go in for 400 years and so on. So what we say the following. 400 years starts from Lady Sitzvah, that's clear. 430 lunar years starts from Hashem told Avram the Gzeri and Bris Ben Avisarim. That actually in solar years was only 412 years, which happens to be from the right chronology in the order of the Torah. And alles stimmt. I guess a chiddush. Where do we see such a thing? Twice. Once Rashi tells us, Legabed, the Shnei Samabel, Rashi says that even though it says it's going to be a year, but it actually was a full solar year, not just a lunar year, an extra 11 days. And the second time we find that the Gemara says in Megillah Daf Yud Bayis that Daniel had a mistake about the 70 years of Shnois Gulas Bovel. And one of the explanations given was that he counted lunar years and actually it was meant to be solar years. So he's missing some time. He thought that the Gulas should come and it hasn't come yet. It was confused because the full time wasn't yet achieved. So this would be miyashiv, a different way, the steer between 400 and 430, without needing to say that Avram came twice to Israel when he was 75 and 70 separately. Now, time is shorter than I thought, so we'll say two more additional points. There's a lot more to be said. I saw a very interesting pshat, which ties really in with another aspect of the pusuk here. It says like this. After the pusuk says in Parshas Boy, it says as Vegam Ayrev Rav Ulu Itam, also many other parts of the nations came with them. What is the connection between the fact that Ayrev Rav came along with them and the fact that they were there for 430 years? Now I want to ask you a question. Everybody knows that it says Avraham Avinu made Gerim, many Gerim, he and she together, and they had people coming along with them all the time. Where are they? What happened to them? Did they disappear? Why did they disappear? So I saw a very interesting pshat. I thought it was a particular chiddush, but nevertheless interesting to share. Avraham Avinu came down to Mitzrayim. We just said now, according to Tosfos, he came to Israel twice. The Mabit writes that the going to Mitzrayim b'shnas arov wasn't at the first visit when he was 70 years old. So when we read the parasha in Lech Lecha, we now know there are two times he came, and the going down to Mitzrayim says the Mabit was actually the first time when he was 70. That was 75 years old. This is important. Avraham comes to Mitzrayim with all the gerim that he made in Choram. They're all there. He's there with all his people, and they all stay in Mitzrayim. And that's why you'll find afterwards, Avraham has his bris mila, and he's running himself and taking care of himself. Where's all the gabum? I mean, he had like this entire hoif, you know, parenches. Where are they? All stayed in Mitzrayim. They stayed in Mitzrayim, and they maintained some of the minas ha'yichad that they knew from Avraham Avinu. And whilst they were not Yidden, nevertheless, they were still distinct in their own. And when finally, when Yidden came out of Mitzrayim, they came with them. And that is the Eir of Rav. On the Eir of Rav, we can say very clearly, and very specifically, they were Mitzrayim for how long? 430 years. So Kim tells, according to this, there's no need to be Miyashav any Perishim. That part of Avraham's household were Mitzrayim for the full duration of the time, but Pashtas without any questions. And therefore, when the Pusik wants to tell us that they were Mitzrayim for 430 years, the Pusik prefaces and says, Vegam Ayrav Uli Wom. And therefore, Moshe Rabbeinu Mitzrayim was 430 years because those Ayrav that came with them, to them it applies very specifically and very clearly. I'll finish Mamash with just a Marabokum for a second. Rav Chaim Kanievsky has a wonderful sefer called Kiryas Melech, which basically brings all the sources of the Rambam. But less known is a small controversy he wrote in 1955 called Beshara Melech. He does the same to the Hakdum of the Rambam. And he's medagadik in every single letter from the words of the Rambam. There are two versions of this contrast. One, as I said, in 1955, and a second one reprinted as part of a larger sefer called Sirach HaSodeh many years later. I always remember having seen something, could never find it again. And finally, a few weeks ago, I realized that in the second version, he actually omitted what he wrote previously, because it's such a chiddush. And he starts off with one kashya. Rambam says, Pinchas, it says, Elazar, Pinchas, Yeshua, Makabah, Moshe Rabbeinu. Reb Chaim says, why in this order? He says, the reason is because in this week's parasha, it says in Targum Yonison that Pinchas still saw Kahas. Being that Kahas came to Mitzrayim when he was at best a baby, but he died at the age of 133. So if Mitzrayim goes, Mitzrayim was 210, Pinchas had to be 78. And we know that Yehoshua was nifted at the age of 110, it says in Pesuk Yeshia Mefredesh. He was the manager of Kaiso 28 years. So 40 years prior to that, Bishas and T.S. Mitzrayim, because there were 40 years in the Midbar, had to be 42. Being that Pinchas was older than Yeshua by so much, that's why it says, Elazar, Pinchas, Yeshua. So far, so good. But there's a problem. Because Bishas and T.S. Mitzrayim, Aharon HaKohen was 83 years old. So how is he 83 and Pinchas is Einikel being 78? It doesn't work. But there's no other way to explain the Targum Yonison, who says Beferish that Kahas saw Pinchas. And the only way to make it work is that way, says Reb Chaim. Therefore, we have to say Targum Yonison is chalek on the rest of Chazal. And he shortens, and let's make it very quick because we have to finish now, shortens the Gudas Mitzrayim to 170. That's the amount of time they were there. How would it work? Brisbane Avasarim was when Avraham Avinu was much younger. Avraham was, according to this Cheshbon, 30 years old, 40 years earlier. And maybe it was even old Kazdim, who knows? So we count 430 years from Avraham Avinu being 30 years old. Golas Mitzrayim itself is only 170 years. That's why I can't go into detail, but the point is that Pinchas and Kahas committed at a much earlier age, and Aharon can be 40 years older than his grandfather. So what did we see? We saw that while say the Olam is the way we talk in Chayit all the time, it has in itself several inherent problems. First, that it says Dafka de Mitzrayim. Secondly, that it points out that Avudim Vini Oysam, which doesn't work. And finally, the biggest problem, that the 30 years of Avraham doesn't stim, but it says Avraham was 75 years old. And how do you fathom for that? Either by saying Avraham wasn't came twice to Eretz Yisrael, or by saying that the Brisbane Avraham happened at an arbitrary point, like Rav Chaim says, much earlier without in Shachas, to what it says in the parashah, in the Zudim at all, or by combining the lunar years and solar years to give us a bit more time to make it all work. And as I started saying before, ultimately, we look at our own miracle, and we're facing a much longer Golas, and we're still here learning about the parashah and the Torah, and we hope to have the Gil Hashlam of Harav Yomani. Amen.
So, let's... all confused. I also confused because there's a Rambam that says that Avraham Avinu was able to avoid the Zura until 40 years old.
Sure.
And therefore, to have the bris ben Avraham before that doesn't quite reconcile, but there you are. There's many different opinions. So let's go back to something which you perhaps can repeat at the Shabbos table. Yeah. Paray came to, Moshe came to Paray and he said to him, okay, you came to bring coal to Newcastle because you came to the place, the country which is steeped in superstition and idol worship, Avodah Zarah, magic, black magic, conjurers, and he's going to perform and going to show us how we're supposed to do it, right? So he says the words, Tenu lochem moifes, perform for us something wondrous. So the Mefarshim ask, why would the words be lochem? If you're going to give it to show Paroi, then the performance is going to be to us. Tenu lonu moifes, show us what you can do. Come on, sell your goods. In fact, actually, Paro invited his wife into the forum and said to them, after he performed the first story with the snake and the stick, he told them, you see, even my wife can do something like this. You don't have to be a maestro. And you're coming amongst the highest, most skilled professional conjurers. Even a woman can outshine you. Although his wife was, in fact, a super superior and very, very skilled magician. But the answer to that is simply because Tenu lochem moifes is that the people who are involved in magic know that it's a trick of the hat, so that when you come to these parties and they take bunny rabbits out of your sleeves and they take your hat off and then there's a budgerigar underneath and then they slip their hands and all of a sudden doves fly out. They don't really appear from nowhere, but it's a slip of the hand. The Gemara calls it achiza seinayim. And that really doesn't excite the person who's in the trade because he's been doing it for 40 odd years, so he knows how to get bunny rabbits to fall out of his back pocket. But the people who are standing in the audience get all excited about it. So Paro said, come on, just show us something that will make you excited, because if it's something which comes from a real, genuine supernatural force, then you will become astounded and overwhelmed by it. And therefore, the solution was Tenu lochem moifes, perform a wonder that is going to make you go, wow, because if it comes from a really supernatural place, even the one who's performing the moifes is also going to become overwhelmed. But the Ovi Sul explains it in a much, much deeper way. Moshe Rabbeinu was confronted by Paro, and Paro says to him, so that's your story, right? They're going to go out of Egypt. It doesn't appear to me that this nation is ready for anything like a spiritual elevation to a place where they're going to stand in front of a mountain and they're going to say, Na'aseh v'nishma. To me, these Jews are not that much different from the Egyptians either. They're in Memtes, Shari, Timur, and even at the Yamsuf, the Maluchim pointed towards them and they said, Haluli Ovda Avoyde Zura, Haluli Ovda Avoyde Zura. So what's this huge distinction that you're saying you have to take the Jews out of Mitzrayim? It doesn't, how do you say, hold water. So Moshe Rabbeinu showed him the first wondrous act, and there was a very deep message there. The message was, look at this mate. It has the inscription of the Tzach Hadash Ba'achav. It is called the Mate Elikim. It's a godly stick, and it has a history behind it, which goes back far, far beyond. When it's in my hand, it's considered the Mate Elikim. But the moment that I take the stick and I cast it in front of you, and it is in the domain of Paroi with the impurity and the defilement of a king who is steeped in Memtes, Shari Timur, that very same stick turns into a deadly, venomous, poisonous serpent who is writhing in front of you, and he throws the stick down. And everybody is shaken by this. But then, shortly afterwards, Moshe Rabbeinu gets a grip hold of this writhing snake, and immediately it turns back to the Mate Elikim. And the message he was telling Paroi was one of profundity, because he was telling him, you should know that everything has to do with Hashpuas. It depends in whose domain you are. Who is the influencer? And if this stick is in my hand as Moshe, then it's a Mate Elikim. The identical stick, when I throw it in front of you, can turn into something as deadly as this snake. But when I grip hold of it again, you can see that the snake turns back to a Mate Elikim. And so, the Jewish nation, yes, it is true that under the influence and under the jackboot of Mitzrayim, this nation will steep to a place where they are mamash memtes share timme and become ad kedei kach oiv davoy dezure. But he said to him, boy, tzi achu esu om. Give a chance for this nation to leave the confines of Egypt. And you will see that that very same nation in 49 days of Sfiras Uoime, Tavden Esu Elikim Alu Horazeh, they will stand at the base of the mountain and the Rebbein Shlolem will listen to them utter the words, Nase Venishma. There was a roof in Moscow in the time of the KGB, going back to communist era, and he was in the big shul in Moscow, and he had to speak at the night of Kol Nidre. Anybody was in Russia in that era will testify that the place was swarming with KGB agents, many of them wearing talus and a kittel, but they looked the part, but they were there just to catch him on one word. Anything that was against the regime and against Big Brother then, of course, was later squealed on, and they were arrested and they disappeared. So the Ruv wanted on one hand to say something that would move the community, but on the other hand, he was scared for his life. He put one foot wrong, and you back in the Gulag when you're in Siberia. So the Ruv said, I had a Din Torah come to me recently between two neighbors. They were poor people, and all they were fighting about was the ownership of a chicken, a cockerel. This one said, it's mine. This one said, no, it's mine. And so there was little choice but to take the chicken, and I said, put the chicken who's tied up and put the two different potential owners who are arguing about this chicken on different sides. Undo the strings which are holding the chicken and let us see in which direction the chicken runs. The one who is familiar, who feeds him and who has been looking after him for such a long while, or the other one who claims that it's his. And accordingly, this will be the telltale sign. Says the Ruv to the community with tears in his eyes. He says, Unu b'choyach gedilas yeminchu tate tziriru. Tate means a father, but he says tate means to unbind. Release those chains. We are chained. But the moment that you will release them, we will see in which direction these people will go and who will they cling to and to who will they run. And at the end of the day, they will run to the embrace of the real father. And that the Ruf finished his drusha on the night of Kol Nidre, and the tears were flowing of the community, which brings us back to Bo'itzi'achu esu om mimitzrayim, tavden esu lekim al horazeh. Just give the Jewish people a chance. Release them from Egypt, and you will see what they will perform in front of Har Sinai. Chavs. Amen.